Hey y'all, just wanted to pop in and give a quick heads up before this week's episode. For those of you that are unaware, we have a merch store at ttrpgroulette.threadless.com. On that site, we have a brand new Pride collection thanks to Lee of Law of Names Games. From now until the end of June 2021, all sales from the designs in this collection will go directly to the Black Trans Travel Fund, a black trans-led collective providing black trans women with financial and material resources needed to remove barriers to accessing safer transportation. This is obviously a very important cause, and we wanted to do our part this Pride Month to put our money where our mouth is in uplifting the voices of some of the people that need it most. So please go check out our Pride collection at ttrpgroulette.threadless.com and click on the Pride 2021 collection. You can find designs with our logo on a background of various LGBTQ+ Pride flags, ranging from gay, lesbian, and bisexual to transgender, polyamorous, bigender, non-binary, and so many others. These designs come on a wide range of apparel, as well as blankets, mugs, stickers, and notebooks. Again, all proceeds from the sales of these designs until the end of June will combine with our Patreon money for the month of June to benefit the Black Trans Travel Fund. So please consider either picking up a piece of merch, joining our Patreon at patreon.com/ttrpgroulette, or donating to the Black Trans Travel Fund itself directly through the link in our show notes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, pull up a chair and put down your chips. It's time for Tabletop Roulette. Today's game is Hi, you can call me Andy because that's my name. I use he, him pronouns, and today I will be playing Raphu Rat Fuke, the lead singer and electric harmonica player of the town's leading indie trashcore band, Pus Fungus.
My name is Hannah. I use she, her pronouns, and tonight I will be playing Marla, a shade tree mechanic and the owner of a local junkyard.
Hi, I'm Kyle, he, him pronouns, and I am playing Duncan Oliver, the radio broadcast reporter in the town of Splinters.
Hi, my name is Tio. I use she, her pronouns, and I am playing Gilda Banyarditch. She's a 60-ish woman who is, we'll just say successful as a Radio Shack customer service rep and a former phone sex operator. She kind of also serves as the resident IT specialist, whether she is qualified or not.
Hey there, I'm Quinn. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Percy Potlatch, the owner of the local general store, the volunteer president of the Chamber of Commerce in Splinters, and I think we decided also the deputy mayor, maybe? Yeah, also the proud deputy mayor of Splinters.
Hi, I'm Reed, and I use they, them pronouns. You can find me at ReedPlays on Twitter, and I'm your GM for today, so I'm playing everybody. Hello and welcome everyone to the table. I'm Reed. Today we are joined by Andy, who has so kindly handed the reins off to me to GM for this episode. And we're also joined by Monster Hour Pod. So thank you so much for joining us today. Would you mind telling our listeners who, I guess we already said who you are, but tell us a little bit about your show.
Quinn, you should do this.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey there, I'm Quinn. I am the keeper, also known as the game master and narrator over at Monster Hour. We are a narrative-driven actual play Monster of the Week podcast. We focus on crisp storytelling, high production value, and sinister mysteries, spooky monsters, and hunting for snacks.
I mean, a good story has to have good snacks in it.
It sure does. And our crew can find them all.
And I don't just mean snacks.
Oh, there's some snacks as well. Hannah, yeah. Do you want to talk about Chief Stoney?
No, oh, yeah, he's a real snack. He is honestly, a snack.
Honestly, yeah.
You can find the show at monsterhour.podbean.com or by searching Monster Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Fuck yeah. But you can't get them if you live in Splinters.
Because there's no service.
There ain't no service.
Podcasts are illegal because of the cat.
Yeah, the cat mayor outlawed podcasts years ago.
You can dance all you want, but no podcasts.
Nope. Yeah. None. All right. Thank you all so much for that. Anyhow, so today, for better or for worse, you've all agreed to be subjected to my GMing in a game of We Die Here. For our listeners at home, We Die Here is a tabletop RPG by Steffi Devon. It's about a small town with sharp secrets and even sharper teeth. Once it gets a hold of you, it's never letting go. This game is inspired by shows like Twin Peaks, It, and Netflix's Dark, about isolated small towns with big secrets, where characters are born and die here. And maybe, if they're lucky, the latter will be at the end of a long life lived. So, with that, let's meet our characters. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
My character is Duncan Oliver. He's a 40-year-old single man living in the small town of Splinters, Washington. He runs a one-man radio station, which only broadcasts to the town and broadcasts out of an old forest service tower up on Ye Olde Mountains. I suppose we want needs and wants, too.
Sure, yeah. Just so that people listening understand, every character that is created in this game has three different, like, aspects of their character, you could say, that determine mechanical things in the game. So we have needs, which are things that you currently have that you want to keep. Wants are things that you don't have, but you want. And then we have secrets. And we've decided as a group to keep all of our secrets secret from each other.
Mm.
Do tell us, what are, I almost just said Kyle's. Kyle, tell us your needs and wants and secrets.
All broadcasters need an audience. And Duncan acts like he is simply reporting, but he needs and craves attention and would be lost without his voice. And so he needs attention and an audience. Duncan has chased down a few leads and craves that thrill of the hunt. And so he wants to chase leads for more exciting stories.
Fantastic.
And his secret is...
Fantastic.
This is Hannah again, and I am playing Marla, a former drifter... inner 30s, a shade tree mechanic. So I'll go and fix up your car where it is in town. And I also own the local junkyard, both of those in scare quotes. You know, it's a small town. Ownership is a lot more fluid. Let's see. My want is I would like to fix up my car and leave. I've got an old beater. And my need is to keep my real identity a secret. So the less you know about me, the better for me.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm sure I will get through this entire game with nobody finding anything else about me except maybe my horoscope sign, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Totally.
That checks out. Who would like to go next?
I can go next. I'm Quinn, and I will be playing Percy Potlatch. Percy is in his, I'm going to say, mid to late 40s. He is definitely rocking like a side comb, and he's got a really thick mustache. Percy owns the local hardware store, and he loves Splinter's Washington. He is the volunteer. But it's a real job. He's the volunteer director of the Chamber of Commerce for Splinters and deputy mayor to the cat, Buster.
Also a real
job. Yes, also a real job. His need is to keep his business afloat. It's important to him. It's, you know, a source of livelihood, but it's also like a point of pride. And it's also important to the town because Percy wants, and you know what? We've gotten so close so many years in a row. We were runner up the last 2 years. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. It's coming. He wants to win best small town in Washington. It's going to happen.
It very well might.
I'll go next. As stated previously, I am playing Raffu Rat Fuke. He is the lead singer of Splinter's premier post-industrial grindcore garage punk band, known far and wide as Puss Fungus. He is in his early 20s. He pretty much lives and dies by his band, mostly dies because they don't make much money at all, because, surprise, they're terrible. His need is to keep his band together. His want is to get Duncan to either like him back or at least respect Puss Fungus as a musical act. Either of those is equally unlikely, and his secret is a secret.
The best kind of secret.
Also, he was born as Matthew, but when he turned 18, changed his name to Raffu because that's just cooler.
Obviously. Yes.
Objectively cooler.
Yeah, just objectively cooler.
Hello, hello. I will be playing Gilda Banyarditch. That is Banyard Ditch all together now. She is a 60-ish woman. She's got her roots in town. Like, she's got a couple of relatives in town, some siblings. She's not the biggest fan of town. She certainly doesn't understand other people's interest and enthusiasm for the town. But, you know, she leads a pretty successful life here. She's got like a beautiful big house, ostensibly from her former phone sex operator days. And now she's a Radio Shack customer service rep, works from home, really, really loves those horrific back and forth conversations that you have with customer service. She like thrives off of that, mainly because she gets to show off her quick wit in response to, you know, customers who are trying their darndest to get any kind of value out of having signed up for the warranty. And Gilda makes sure that that doesn't happen. So she enjoys that.
Gilda, real monster of Splinter's Watch.
You know, to her, it's a game. It's like, oh, you think you know how you're
just
going
to make
be
it better.
$5 back. Yeah, but you know. Hey, someone's got to teach people that the world is cruel, and Gilda's there for that. And because she works with technology and is semi-related to a technology-ish company, in this town, it makes her the resident IT specialist. So people will like come with their old TVs and random things and be like, can you fix this? And she always says yes. And then she maybe finds a way to do it or outsources it. But it's a nice hobby of hers. Her need, which is very central to who she is as a person, is to keep her quick wit and her kind of snarky reputation. She really prides herself on that, kind of pats herself on the back for it all the time. And her want is really to, you know, she knows this is her life, but she's kind of always dreamed of being more, like she thinks she's destined for more. So she definitely does not want to die without some notoriety or legacy outside of this town. Like, someone needs to know her in the world for something other than the fact that she can, like, fix your broken radio, you know? So,
oh yeah,
that's what she wants.
Fantastic. Well, with our character introduction out of the way, may I interest you in some introductory flavor text?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it.
Just make sure that you're not in the dark for this one. We open on the town of Splinters, Washington, a small town that rests in the jagged shadow of Splintered Peak. Local legends say that the mountain split when a small meteor fell from the sky long ago. Others say it was a Russian satellite. Debate is ongoing. Overlooking Splinters, nearly halfway up the Splintered Peak itself, we see the old radio tower. It's an antique triangular structure with a booth at the base in which we see two people bent over a switchboard covered in buttons and dials. One is a short, stout, older man with a scraggly gray beard and beady eyes that are barely visible under a filthy bucket hat. And Kyle, would you like to describe Duncan to us?
Yeah, I think Duncan has pretty basic clothing on, just kind of some jeans, boots, like a flannel shirt and a vest, and some spectacles with kind of a thin gold frame. His hair is unkempt and slightly balding near the top. He has a receding hairline.
Yikes.
The man next to you, Duncan, is in fact Skid, and you know him as sort of the, I guess, resident wild man. He basically bivouacs in this radio tower. There's actually like a little cot that you brought him that he refuses to use in the corner of the radio tower, the base of your operations. And he's sort of breathing over your shoulder as you are working at the switchboard, and he's saying, "Well, do you think it's gonna work this time? We're gonna finally broadcast out of range of the town? Maybe next one over?" Like,
you know, Skid, I've been trying to do this so many times. It's gotta work one of these times, you know? Maybe if we switch these wires around.
Exactly. That's how wires work. Switch them around and whoo, it works like magic.
We've had red to blue, green to yellow for too long. What if we go red to green?
I like the way you think.
That's why we make such a great team, Skid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are the dream team. And he, like, goes to give you a high five. His hand is filthy, by the way.
I quickly pull my sleeve over my hand and slap it. And then wipe that off on my jeans.
There's a smear on your jeans.
That is never coming out.
No, it's not. And he goes to fix the wires as you've directed, and then he gives you a big thumbs up. All right, let her rip.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And I throw the Frankenstein huge switch on the wall.
So unlike the Frankenstein film, or Young Frankenstein, that is, there isn't like a big, you know, electric bolt that goes through or anything really special. It's very anticlimactic. It seems like, yeah, that is good news. You don't want to
listen. That's happened before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Skid remembers. I think he still has burns from the last time. And so he kind of looks over and sees that, you know, it doesn't look like anything has noticeably happened. He goes, "Well, did it work?"
I kind of listen carefully. And I go, "I have no idea. I suppose we'll find out. I'll have to broadcast something and then listen to it outside of town. Ugh, this is a lot of work, Skid. Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, I guess we got this far, right? Let's give it a try. See if we can get anything out there."
That's true. I'll ask listeners. I'll say, if you're hearing this outside of Splinters, Washington, come say hi. Send us a letter.
Yeah, yeah. Do people do pigeons anymore?
You know, I think they do.
You know, or the Pony Express?
I've heard about that. I've heard about pigeons. They used them in World War II, even.
Yeah, yeah, pigeons. Pigeons were probably great.
Yeah, very reliable.
Yes, you can train them up if they're awesome.
Send us a pigeon.
Yeah, yeah. Pigeon or a pony.
You know, I'll probably just have them call.
Oh, yeah. I guess they could call.
You know, I got a phone line back in town, so we'll have them call.
All right. Well, you know, you better come up here and tell me when you call. You know, you got to tell old Skid.
Right? Yeah, oh, will do. I'll raise the flag. I'll put the flag up and you'll know.
All right. I'll be watching. Well, come on.
You always do. Let's
send something out.
All right. I think you've got like a little temporary broadcast station hardwired into the tower while we work on it. And so I pick up a microphone that's plugged into there, kind of spin a couple dials, move a couple sliders and levers and go, okay, here we go.
Hello and welcome. This is Duncan Oliver broadcasting from Splinters, Washington. If you are outside of the town and can hear this broadcast, please call the following number.
I say a number.
Yeah, so you do this, you speak into the microphone. As far as you can tell, it seems to be broadcasting, except for then when you actually turn off the microphone, something weird is happening. Mm-hmm. You hear a voice, the other end of coming from somewhere. You're not really sure where because you're not receiving audio on your radio. You know, that's not how this works. Yeah. But you are hearing a voice that is saying, it's a small, tired voice saying,
please help me. Help me. It's so dark here. It's so cold.
And then they're static.
Skid, are you playing a prank?
What?
No, I hate it when you do that.
I wasn't playing no prank. Or praying no plank.
Don't play planks, Skid. Come on.
I'm telling you.
There's no one up here, right?
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, I guess we're around, but I heard that thing come out of the microphone. You? They can't do that. You can't make sound come out of the microphone. That ain't how it works.
Not in this configuration, for sure.
No.
I'd like to, yeah, take a look around.
Okay. Yeah.
Like peek outside the booth.
Do you want to like walk around the booth? Because basically what I'm imagining is that it's like a typical triangular formation that is kind of old-fashioned radio tower. And then the booth is at the base where you have your equipment that's hooked up to the tower itself to receive the signal.
Yeah. I think you probably exit the booth and do kind of a once around the tower, calling out, hello?
There's no answer. It's just evergreen trees. What time of day do you think this would be that you are broadcasting?
It's probably late afternoon because I suspect Skid picked up Duncan and they went up to do work on the tower and it's taken them longer than expected. A lot of setbacks. So it's later in the day. It's not evening yet because they're just doing their first test of the equipment here. And they probably started in the morning, but
yeah,
it's probably in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest in Splinters, Washington. You're on Splinters Peak itself, but you don't see anyone there. Not a single soul.
Hell of a sunset, Skid. All right, we gotta pack up. Maybe check this equipment. Something might be bugged up with the wires. Maybe red shouldn't have gone to green or something.
Maybe, but Skid looks a little bit spooked, if you will.
Oh yeah, Duncan is too, but also a little bit excited.
But I think that you and Skid pack up, and Skid actually reminds you, right? You know, you remember that there's a town hall meeting tonight, right?
Oh, probably, right.
It's getting kind of late. I guess we should go to that or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I am the reporter, so I suppose you got to go and at least make note of what happened. Yeah. Tell everyone tomorrow because no one's going to be there, but they got to know what's happening in town.
Exactly. I just go to laugh at, laugh at the proceedings.
you think old Percy's going to be there? You think he's going to drop his notes again?
Oh, yeah. 100%. And he's totally going to say something to the, you know, something about how he can't believe that he's the deputy mayor to a cat. You know, he's still pretty bitter about
how he says as deputy mayor, but he says deputy like really quiet.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's get going.
I mean, I don't have a TV up here, so that's all the you know, entertainment I get these days.
Fair enough. They do hold a lot of them.
And I think the two of you make your way back down and
we will swap over to Total Trains, in parentheses, and Wine, where Gilda Bandyarditch and her siblings, Barry and Joey, are having a sort of sibling meeting, if you will. What does Total Trains and Wine look like?
Well, the reason that Barry was able to kind of afford this establishment was because it's not entirely... It's up to code now, but it went through a couple of renovations to get there, so... The ceiling height changes a lot throughout this place. When you walk in, you have to duck. But once you get in, the ceiling is fine. And then the main room is just one huge room with an elaborate train set that is like a U shape. And you can go all the way around it. So you can follow a whole path. And it is the whole town. And again, anytime something changes in town... Barry makes sure that the model is updated for folks who have ever been to the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, Queens. I'm going to pull that one out here. There is a model, a replica of the city there. That's what I'm thinking. And then if you go to the end of this big, large room, you see that there's almost like an addition put on to the back, like a back porch addition, but it's fully enclosed and the ceiling drops down a little bit again. And that is the wine part of Total Trains. And that's where you have like a nice bar and it's essentially like a, you know, it's like a hangout spot. So you can pick up any, you know, train hobby needs. All of the equipment is lining the walls, or you can just play with the trains or just sit and have a decent, sometimes warm wine, because that back part is definitely not insulated the same as.
Oh, no, definitely not. But yeah, I think that you're probably in the back part. Barry, your brother, is sitting with a, I think like one of the buildings from the model town and is sort of like freshening up the paint. And so he's kind of like a, you know, looks like a, kind of looks like a wannabe country club dad type, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the chubbies and the polo shirt, you know, a sweater pulled over it, that kind of thing. And he's sitting there painting. You assume that Jerry, his husband, is somewhere in the back doing stuff. Jerry probably rightfully so thought that it would be best to leave the three of you all alone. And Joey, your other sibling, is also, she likes to wear tracksuits and gold necklaces. And she actually runs the local pawn shop, pawning for gold in town. And currently, she has been admonishing you and seems to be distressed. She's saying,
look, I know you have that old Hollywood money or whatever it is. Come on, Gilda, just help us sip out, all right? Pawning for gold just ain't what it used to be, and I can barely put food on the table. You know I wouldn't ask, but, you know, after our inheritance was stolen and all that, I don't have enough to live on.
I mean, you could always... Look, I know you're not going to like hearing this, but, you know, you say things are going real bad, but every time I see you, you got a new tracksuit on. I'm just saying, like, what are your finances?
I'm not supposed to enjoy my life with what I have?
It seems like you're enjoying your life a whole lot, and maybe, you know, focus a little more of that on the food you eat and a little less on the... I mean, it looks good, but, like, who are you trying to impress in this town? I wear the same three outfits, and I have plenty of money for food on the table.
Jesus.
Oh, look, I'll help you out, but like, it's gonna cut. This is the last time. We both know that I have been more than generous, and I have also offered to hook you both up with, you know, a couple of customer service shifts at Radio Shack if you'd like them. Haven't heard back from either of you on that. And yet here you are telling me that you're so desperate you're asking me again. Well, yeah, what do you want me to do here?
Barry looks up from painting this. I think he's like actually painting the miniature replica of the hardware store that Percy worked. owns. He looks up from this, says, look, I'm not asking for money, Gildy. I'm just here to mediate. And then he goes right back to painting.
I like look over at what he's painting. I'm like, you know, Percy's going to tell you that's not the exact right color of the store, right? Like he's going to bring you a sample. You might as well just wait until he does that.
Barry shrugs and says, well, I like to keep my hands busy.
Sure. All right, Joey. I mean, how much do you need?
Well, look, Gilly. So there's some art supplies that I need. And the materials, I mean, they're a little on the pricier side, but I swear, if you do this for me, Gilly, I will be able to make the most amazing masterpiece that this podunk little town has ever seen. It's going to put us on the map, okay? You understand? It is going to be the most amazing sculpture. And she like gives you a list of the materials that she needs, and they're on the pricey side. She goes, you know, just... I need this. And I know that if I have the right stuff, I'm finally going to be recognized as the artist that I am. And then I won't have to do pawning for gold ever again. I could sell it.
Uh-huh. Who would be buying pawning for gold?
She looks like she has not considered this. Well, I don't know. Maybe Percy will. You know, he loves the town shit. He'd probably buy it from me.
Yeah, I think you'd have to make it a historic building first, and then he might buy it at that for some sort of tourist trap nonsense.
It's probably going to cost more for me to get a counterfeit historical document or whatever. So if you don't mind paying for that too, that'd be great.
All right, look, here's what I'm going to do. First of all, you say put us on the map. Whose map? Like the book of roadside attractions on your way to California, or what level of sophisticated are we talking here? But before you answer, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to do this for you because I'm nothing if not a decent sister, at least. And I want you to remember this next time you go on and on about how I never show up to help out or anything like that at the store. But I'd like a plaque. If this thing is going to be as good as you say it is, I want it to say
that. Oh, wow.
Because of me.
All right. Wants a plaque.
Joey looks at you like you've slapped her.
Look, you'll be there as the artist, but you know, sponsored by... thanks to the support of, however you want to phrase it, I'll leave that to you. I'll pay for the materials for the plaque, too. Let's go ahead and throw that in there.
Is that why you won't give it to me? Is that you think you're better than me? Because you.
I mean, you're the one asking me.
Hotshot whatever career in Hollywood. And she does, like, air quotes. And so you think you're better than me, right? You think my art is shit? It's nothing?
If I thought that, I wouldn't put my name on it. I wouldn't want the plaque if I didn't like your work, Joey. I kind of want something in return here. I feel like I have done you and in general our family a lot of favors over the years, and you want to make your dreams come true? I'm all for that. You know, like I'm glad you've decided that pawning for gold is not the way you want to go for the rest of your life. I get that. I'm just saying I want a little credit for my part of it.
She narrows her eyes at you and says, I'll think about it.
Okay.
And she goes and says, Jerry, I need a drink, and walks off in pursuit of a beverage. And you are left alone at the bar counter with Barry. He's still painting diligently.
I don't think I was asking too much there, was I? Like, it would be true. It was thanks to me.
Barry shrugs, says, well, Gilda, I mean, she's not wrong about the pawn shop. It's really not doing the best. And I don't know. She's our sister. We're supposed to take care of her, right? And
she's also an adult and has been for a very long time.
I know, but I guess some of us have been luckier in this family than others.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind spreading that luck around just a little bit if it makes our sister happy.
You're probably right. You usually are. How long do you think I should wait before I apologize?
At least wait till after tonight.
All right.
You know, because she's going to be drunk as a skunk at that meeting.
Yeah, I'll let her take that out on Percy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. All right. You're right. You know, sometimes she just comes at me with these wild ideas. I'm just like, but you're right. I'll make it right.
It's the genius or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't like her if she was, you know, boring, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, at least be interesting if you're going to stay in this town your whole life.
Exactly. It does take its toll on us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Would like my name on something like that, though. I'm sure it'll be cool. I'll figure something else out.
Well, you apologize. She just might let you have a plaque on there.
Yeah. That's why you always stay quiet in these talks, huh? Because then you can convince us what we should do later.
He winks at you. Caught again.
I give him a pat on the back.
Well, I'll see you later. I should go make sure that Joey isn't giving Jerry too much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And he sets down the building that he was working on and walks away. But when you look at this little miniature building that he's been working on the entire time you've been watching him paint it, it's not the hardware store anymore.
Hmm.
It's actually the radio tower.
Huh. But what's going on there?
And with that, we will move to the old sawmill. Not far from the radio tower, nestled deep in the woods, is the sawmill. It's abandoned, but not uninhabited. This is a popular local teen hangout. So we see Rat and his band emerging from inside the sawmill, carrying some recording equipment with them, having just taken samples of the dilapidated industrial equipment inside. As you leave the building, though, you see another group of teens, younger than you, of course, because you are in your 20s. Technically, you're not a teenager, actually.
What are you doing at this fucking sawmill? Just being a creep?
No, we're getting very important sound clips.
Here for business. Man,
so you actually see the Stones, which is a rival band in town. They do sort of a garage punk sort of aesthetic, and you see their leader Gio, who has dark skin and dark hair. Kind of, they fold their arms and they look at you with an insufferable smirk, like, "Hey, look, gang. It's Puss Fungus." And all of the teens do like a ha 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 thing in the background.
Really? You're gonna laugh about Puss Fungus? You're the Stones. What kind of name for a music band is that?
Well, I mean, obviously it's an homage to the Rolling Stones. Not that you'd know anything about it.
Yeah, I only listen to real music, so I've never heard of you or your shitty little tribute band.
It's not a tribute band. Our name's a tribute. But anyway, look.
To a band.
Yeah, but it's not. Our songs are original, unlike yours.
I'm gonna need you to look up the dictionary definition of original.
Oh yeah? What is it?
Not your music.
Oh, whoa. Oh my God. Everybody, did you just see that comeback? Oh my God.
You can't see words, dipshit.
Yeah, you can if you see them on your face. And then they kind of look like and look at their friends to laugh. And their friends sort of just like look confused. And they go, ha 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 ha. Like. And then, you know, Gio sort of returns to the default smirk.
What are you even here for?
And Gio continues to smile and actually, like, throws a little paper airplane at you, and it actually hits you right in the forehead. And I assume that you're probably coordinated enough to catch it.
I think Rat does the thing where, like, he tries to catch it and, like, juggles it a couple times, but eventually, yeah, he catches it.
You unfold it, and you see that it's a poster. And it says, Geo and the Stones, one night only, Sunday at 9 at the radio tower.
Is it one night only because you suck?
No.
Could be. I was to say.
Look, I'm going to say this real slow so even a dumbass like you can understand, Rat. It's going to be our last show. And I know we haven't always been, like, friends or whatever, but, you know, I guess you're the closest thing that I have to a rival in this town, so, I'd like you to come. You know, just want to feel the same without you.
I bet you would. Yeah, we'll be there. I want to see you all fail and go out of business. I mean, you're not in business, because it's, yeah, you suck.
She says, so that means you'll come?
Yeah, we'll be there.
Great. All right. See you at 9.
Aristotle and Socrates here at the sawmill.
Excuse you, it's pronounced Aristotle.
As Geo says this to you, you see that their smile is less, like, smug than before. It almost looks like they look genuinely happy that you, which is very unusual. They say, yeah, you know, I mean, it's our last show, so we're going to go out with a bang, right? You know how it is.
Yeah, I don't actually, because my band's still together.
Oh, no, we're not breaking up. It just, you know, we're leaving.
Leaving?
Yeah, well, yeah, we are. Forever.
Well, where are you going to?
Somewhere else.
Well, duh.
Yeah, well, we're going to non-dipshit island. You know, because you can't be there.
I think Rat looks at them and says, oh, did you finally get kicked off of dipshit island, dipshit?
I'm really curious what your lyrics are like given this exchange.
Well, believe you me, they're not nearly as stupid as the barbs I'm trying to throw back at.
Yeah, Geo just, like, you know, rolls their eyes, like, whatever. You know, at least I got kicked off of dipshit island. You're still the king. But anyway.
I think Rat just kind of rolls his eyes and, like, starts to walk off. He doesn't have a response, but he's not gonna, like, stick around to prove that.
Yeah. And Geo calls after you. See you at the radio tower. 9 o'clock sharp. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And as you're holding the poster, I think that, like, at some point you notice that there's actually, like, some ink that's bleeding through the paper. Like, something was written on the other side.
Because I imagine we came here in Shroom's car. So, like, Shrooms being one of the members of the band. And I think Rat just, like, flips the paper over to look to see what's written on the other side.
The other side is written all in caps, and it just says, we're in the cave.
Do you think that's the name of their new song?
I don't know. It's kind of a weird name for a single. Like, I don't know. Is it, like, a metaphor or something?
I mean, their name's the Stones, so, like, stones are in caves?
Oh, no, I thought it always was, like, a joke, like, it meant they had balls.
Fuck, that's good.
I know, right? Like, I'm kind of bummed we didn't think about it.
What a
Yeah, but Puss Fungus is such a cooler name.
I know, but what if we had been Puss Balls?
What if? Guess we'll never know.
Honestly, like, can you just imagine? Like, we could really just hone in, man, on that balls merch, okay? Just balls everything. Balls to the wall, Rat.
Yeah, we could, like, have people get their... We could have, like, baseballs and stuff with like pus ball on it.
Yeah, exactly like that. Just baseballs everywhere. That's exactly what that means.
We should do that.
And you drive off in, I think, like band van, probably. That is, it looks like a really fucked up mystery machine or something.
For some reason, I'm imagining the car from Dumb and Dumber, the dog van.
So you know what? Shrooms actually works at like some fast food chain another town over. And has the fast food chain van, and it's some sort of animal, some sort of horrific looking animal that he drives around in, and that's your band van.
I love oh, this is great.
This is very, very good. You drive off and we see Gio is standing outside the sawmill watching you leave, and they have a very pensive but also sort of almost sad look on their face as you drive away. And then we will cut to Marla's junkyard. Marla, tell us.
Yes.
What does your junkyard look like?
Well, it's rather large. It's got a lot of, like, there is a method to the madness that only I know. I, Marla, the owner of the junkyard. But there's a larger building towards the back, and that's where I keep my car that I'm trying to fix up. And so that's probably also where there's going to be stuff that's a little bit more valuable. So things like car parts where you could, you know, get them and sell them. The junkyard itself has a lot of wrecked vehicles, older vehicles. So things from like the 50s and 60s. It's also got like a bunch of, excuse me, the junkyard cat, of which there are several. because Marla doesn't like people, but she does like animals, and so she does feed at least one junkyard cat, who listeners is being played by my cat Francis. There's also a lot of, it's mining, so there's probably some like random like industrial stuff that's kind of around. I was gonna say tractors, but we're in the mountains, so probably not a lot of tractors. And then there's also just like some fun, like there's some old TVs there, but it is a lot of metal and scrap. It's not particularly well lit. The building at the back is well lit, but that's about it. So it does get a little spooky at night. Marla is wearing like a set of those work coveralls and doesn't go anywhere without at least one heavy tool in one of the pockets because she knows how to take care of herself. But right now I'm probably working on the car, trying to get it fixed up.
Yeah. And I think at this moment, actually, I was thinking that maybe we could bring Percy in here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Percy walks into your junkyard as you're fixing up your car.
Well, hey there, Marla.
What do you want?
Howdy, neighbor.
What do you want?
Did I come here for a particular reason?
Yeah, my thought, sorry, I should have, I guess I just was like, oh yeah, just throw Quinn in this scene. Quinn.
Oh, I can do that. That's fine.
I was thinking probably it has to do with the town hall meeting.
Okay.
Kind of what I had in mind.
That would make sense. Yeah. Hey there, neighbor. Car's looking really nice.
I mean, it's coming along. What do you want? What do you want, Percy?
Well, I just wanted to see if you're going to be coming to the town hall this evening. We've got some big, important discussions coming up. We could really use your voice as a local business owner. You know, you haven't renewed your Chamber of Commerce membership yet. You might want to take care of that before. Might want to really, take care of that.
Really slipped my mind. Yeah, I'll put it on the to-do list. Okay. Yeah, it's on the to-do. It's on the to-do list. I'm sure it's near the top. But like,
we lowered the dues to $4.
Jesus. Be thirstier, my God.
$3.99. Come on, Marla.
All right. I reach into one of my voluminous pockets and pull out a very, very beat up money clip, and I pull off $4 and I hand it over. There's your dues.
All right. Wonderful. You know, this is really a vibrant Chamber of Commerce is going to be key to winning best small town in Washington.
What do we have to do to get you to go away? Like right now, like what is the thing that, well, because I got work to do and this is not.
Promise you'll come to the town hall meeting?
Why would I do that? What, like what earthly reason?
Well, it's important to the community. We're going to be discussing some, you know, critical upkeep and maintenance and the revitalization of Main Street. That's going to make sure we're real competitive this year. And I guess if that doesn't work, I'll leave you alone.
Yep. Okay. Bye.
Great. See you tonight, neighbor.
And I go back to fixing my, and I'm kind of like peeking over the hood to see if he leaves. Like, is he leaving?
I jauntily with $4 in tow, tucked into like my shirt pocket, walk out of the property.
God, what a fucking asshole.
And as you're talking to yourself, you actually see Philly Buster is now perched on the car. Maybe like you've got the hood open. I think the Philly Buster, or AKA Buster, the mare, is perched licking a paw sort of on the edge of the hood. It's just kind of staring at you with big yellow eyes.
All right, Mayor Buster. What is it you've come here for? Are you going to ask me to go to the commerce meeting? Because the answer is still no, but I will definitely. And I reach out to scratch him behind the ears because, you know, he cares about his constituents. This is making me feel like a valued member of this town. Yeah. Yeah. I scratch behind the ears.
You hear him purr, and then it takes only the blink of an eye, but when your eyes blink open, your hand is clutching air.
The fuck? All right, well, you know, that's what cats do. For a moment,
you could swear that, how old is the car that you're working on?
It's like late 60s.
You could swear that it's not the same model that you remember. It might even be older.
Huh.
But then okay. Blink again, and it's back to normal. It looks great.
And where's Buster?
Buster is gone.
Buster? Buster? Psst, 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 psst. Buster? Kitty, kitty, kitty,
Mr.
kitty.
Mr. Mayor.
Sir?
He only responds to Mr. Mayor.
Your Honor,
Mr. Buster, Mayor Buster, Mayor Buster.
Your other cats, your other junkyard cats, actually do come up to you and kind of rub against your legs and are looking for attention. But Buster is not among them.
Have you seen Buster? What did you do with Buster? Wow. What did you do with Buster? Did you run Buster off? Wow. I mean, I love you guys best. So, well, that was weird. I'm still not coming to the commerce meeting, Buster. Still, I do appreciate the visit, but this is not. I'm not coming to the meeting. Not no. I'm just kind of like this yelling it out into the junkyard, and I turn back to the car to start working on it again.
And so, we now find ourselves at the town hall meeting. So, what does the town hall look like, everybody? Is there, or do we even have a dedicated town hall?
No.
Like there's like a community center slash church.
slash gym?
Uh-huh.
I think it's at the fast lane.
Ah, yes!
Amazing. I love that. Yes.
So, Andy, because I think you came up with the fast lane, do you want to describe to us what it looks like?
Okay. So, if you imagine, because I'm pretty sure that every town has that shitty little hole-in-the-wall bowling lane, but worse. Like, when you walk in, there's just, like, a solid wall of cigarette smoke that you have to walk through. Mm-hmm. Even if nobody in there's smoking or has been for a while, somehow there's just like cigarette smokes like stuck in the air. Depending on which lane you get, the actual lanes themselves are warped enough that you have to know what lane you're getting to know how to adjust your ball to get it to roll the right way. This place has not been well taken care of, to put it gently. And of course, it has like the most late 80s, early 90s, like arcade ass carpet with like neon triangles and random squiggles that looks like the back of a bus seat.
Starburst pattern.
So I do have a question. Is there an arcade in the fast lane?
Yes, but the only like one of the machines works.
Great. Love it.
And it's Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh.
Objectively the best game in the arcade. So, I think that since this is in a bowling alley, I feel like everyone's kind of seated around the, you know, bowling stations or the lanes. I don't know anything about bowling. But you know how there's the seats that go kind of around the thing that poops out the bowling ball. And
the return, yes.
Percy, I think that you're like sort of on a step that's just like slightly higher than the actual wood bowling lane floor. So it seems mm-hmm. like you're a little higher than everyone else, but you know, by like 6 inches. And so far this meeting is chaos. I mean, Lonnie and Lewis are off dealing with the turd in the bowling fountain. And everyone else is kind of just chatting amongst themselves, totally not paying attention to you. I think that maybe you even paid a couple of them to be here. So how do you call this meeting to order?
That would be bribery, and that's, I would never do that. Hey neighbors, can I get everyone's attention? This, you know, the sooner we have the meeting, the sooner that we can reopen the lanes. Anyone?
I think that's, you actually get a good portion of pus fungus's attention anyway, because they actually came here to bowl.
Rathew.
Yeah, come on, guys, shut the fuck up. I want to go bowling.
Yeah, say words and people listen. That's kind of how it works.
Okay, great. And just to set the scene here, Percy is definitely, so standing on top of this, like, just the most like minuscule elevation possible. He's wearing pressed blue jeans and a tucked in flannel. Got like a homemade pin that says "You'll get stuck on splinters." And then it's got like pins underneath it. That's like second best small town in Washington, and like Chamber of Commerce, like homemade nameplate. And just like standing up here, like trying to get everybody's attention. Reed, just a question for you.
Yes.
Is there anything you have in mind for this town hall, or can I just go wild here?
I say go fucking hog wild.
Okay. Thank you neighbors. Thank you everybody for being here. For those of you who I haven't met yet, that's just a little joke. I know all of you rascals. This is the town hall meeting to discuss the preparations for the visiting committee for the best small town in Washington. They're going to be here, as you know, on Sunday. And, you know, we need to make sure the town is in tip-top shape so that we can finally win this year.
God, I hate him so much.
Duncan raises his hand. He's sitting at one of the, like, tables that you eat fries and drink soda at behind the racks of balls, and he's got a tape recorder out.
Well, I was gonna save questions till the end, but you look like you're very eager, so go ahead, Duncan.
Percy, in your expert opinion, what do you think is the biggest hurdle to the town winning this year?
Well, I think if we don't all give 110%, if we don't, you know, make sure that the sidewalks are clean and there's no trash, there's no excrement, no doo-doo in the bowling alley lanes. Well, we're not going to win anything with that attitude. So we just need to all, you know, I think the biggest impediment is just our own recalcitrance.
And the literal shitstorm we live in.
Rat raises his other hand so that now both hands are in the air.
Yes, Rathew.
It's Rat, but that's not how percentages work. You can't give 110%.
Rathew, you are very much correct from a mathematical sense, but you know, when we're talking about what we give to our community, it's a figure of speech.
So do you want us to, like, die for the town?
No.
That's a good question.
No, I certainly don't want that. I don't think anybody wants that. I think we all want to live long, healthy lives.
Joey raises her hand and says, yeah, I don't want to die for the town.
Kay. Nobody needs to die. In fact, we're going to live long, healthy, and happy lives as soon as we finally win. We're going to get a lot of good publicity. It's going to bring a lot of good business in. Joey, I know that, you know, the pawns for gold.
Pawning for gold, Percy.
I'm sorry. And yeah. Hey, you know, the trains and wine and more.
Trains and more.
Marla, and you know, more and cars. Wine. More cars, more business.
Barry very quietly to himself says, total trains, wine.
Duncan giggles to himself as he scribbles in a notepad. Deputy mayor asks for blood sacrifice from town.
can I tap you on the shoulder there? And I'm like, I'll give a quote if you need one. I'll say that it happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always come and ask you for a quote after these
great
meetings.
Great.
You've got a recurring column almost.
Yep. Basically. Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to be a buzzkill here, neighbors, but if we don't all pitch in, we're gonna have to raise the property tax by a half cent and make sure we can do the revitalization project. I spoke to the mayor about this, and he signed off.
What did he say?
Yeah, I want to hear what the mayor said.
The mayor is actually beside you now. He's just appeared out of nowhere.
Okay, yeah, that works. I pick up the mayor, and I'm holding the mayor like as I'm giving this speech, and just like petting the mayor, like an evil supervillain, but like the opposite.
For a moment, I absolutely forgot that the mayor was a cat.
The mayor ran on a platform of no taxation.
Yeah, Duncan raises his hand.
The mayor
again.
Didn't run on a platform at all. I think we all remember the campaign.
Does the mayor have a comment about this? How this goes against campaign promises to lower taxes for businesses?
Percy holds the mayor out.
Wow.
The mayor demands more pets.
Reel the mayor back in and continue cradling the mayor. I don't mean to be a meanie weenie, but I think we all need to just pitch in, and then we can put this all behind us. What do you say, neighbors?
Gilda does raise her hand this time, which is rare.
Yes, Gilda.
Even though she's just yelling. When you say put this behind us, do you mean if we win this once, you'll never bother us about this again?
Percy just kind of like looks around.
Rat attempts to influence him by just like slowly nodding his head.
I nod like unconvincingly.
Okay. Duncan whispers in the tape recorder, Percy is nodding yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
And then gets up to go grab his fry order.
I think that like Lonnie sees you go up to the counter for your fries and has been like dealing with the situation with the bowling return.
Mm-hmm.
And runs up, looks at his hands, grimaces, goes to wash them really quick, and then gets you the fries. The fries are like literally almost on the counter, like but just out of your reach. So it's like you could have probably gotten them yourself.
Yeah. No, wait. I know he's got pride in his business. I also take the fries and I squirt just an obscene amount of ketchup on top and then return, go back.
So I guess Percy, are you calling this meeting to order, or are there other sort of like instructions that you're giving out or anything before this meeting sort of dissolves back into regular old bowling?
So just remember, I'm going to be coming around tomorrow to check and see how everyone's done on cleaning up the streets, making sure all of the signs are polished, making sure that all of the rats are taken care of, and just make everything look nice.
No. The animal ones.
Well,
the dumber ones.
Yeah.
That's the total party animal, am I right, rat? Up top.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and Shroom gives you the most righteous high five.
So I'll be coming by tomorrow and just make sure everything looks all nice. And then we don't have to worry about this anymore. Thanks, neighbors.
I whisper to whoever's sitting to my right, I think Percy could use some anti-anxiety medications. This seems like it's weighing on him more than it's even a goal.
It's Percy, me, and I write that like, down on the record.
Yeah, I that's an on-the-record quote. That's great.
Percy like steps down and turns away, and you can see his right eye twitching.
Oh, yeah,
that's fair.
Like, he sees this as like getting down into the trenches.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
You know, like he's in the war zone.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear listening to actual play podcasts really helps. So why don't you check out Tabletop Roulette, where all good
or Monster Hour.
Hey, also very good podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Calm yourself down after a train wreck of a town hall meeting.
But yeah, so I think slowly the town hall meeting dissolves. Most of the town folks that were here were really here to bowl. And I think that them showing up here was coincidental. Which is probably, you know, I feel like you probably held previous town hall meetings in another location in previous years and realized that that was just an uphill battle and probably just swapped to doing it at the fast lane.
Is there a discount if you attend the town hall meeting?
You know what? I bet if Percy asked, Lonnie would probably give in. It's not bribery if it's not you doing it.
Mm-hmm. Conspiracy to commit bribery.
Oh my.
Duncan abstains from actually bowling. So he told himself never again.
Not after the incident.
He's way too competitive for this sort of sport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're watching as Shroom is like doing the like through the legs with his butt in the air.
Yes, love it.
The end of the bowling lane kind of throw. And you see that he like throws it into another lane. and it actually almost hits Joey. And goes, "Hey, watch it, kid." And he sits up really fast. He's like red faced. He's like, did I get it in?
I mean, you got it in somewhere.
Yeah. I ruled this. He goes up for another high five with you, Rat.
Rat once again fist bumps.
And he does the thing where you fist bump him and he goes for the high five, so then it's an awkward, like he's holding your fist. And he just looks a little confused, but you know, he's kind of like, you know, you got the spirit. It kind of gives your hand a shake and then let's go. So are Duncan and Gilda staying here or are you all leaving?
I think we do our little interview.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
At a table. And I get some information from Gilda for her column on the radio.
Sure. Why not? I read it out. I record it and send it to you.
Yeah. I've got the little tape recorder.
That's cute.
Set up so you can record it here at the bowling alley.
Great. So you always hear the bowling balls in the background.
Bowling balls in the background are just like, that's just the like place setting.
Yeah. When you hear Shroom in the background go strike
as he gets a gutter ball.
Yeah, it's a gutter ball.
It's an ironic strike.
He just wants to yell it. He doesn't ever have a chance.
But yeah, so do we get to hear a little bit of this interview or?
Sure.
Are you just going to tease us?
No, we'll do it. We'll do it.
This is a Patreon content? No.
This just became an MLM.
So Gilda, tell us, listeners want to know what's in season this year?
Oranges, but only if they have been frozen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If your oranges are sitting on the counter, you're behind on the times.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
That's one.
Yes.
Two.
We have a Stephen from down the road.
Sure.
Has
I
a
know
question.
Stephen from down the road. Yeah.
Has a question about his television that he brought in the other week.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Says it's all green. Is that normal?
Well, I think you define your own normal.
Mm-hmm,
if it's green at his place and he's adapted to it, then it's normal for him.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got...
He never... Just want to put a little asterisk there. The verbal agreement that we had was that I would make it play again. I never said that it would play in all colors. So, I think, you know, that one's on him.
Fascinating. Now, we have one last question from Anonymous, it says. It says, I live out of town. What do you think about bucket hats? Would you ever date somebody with a bucket hat? I shoot a glance over at Skid.
It gives you like an encouraging thumbs up.
Well, I'll say this. The bucket hat, not the problem. Being not confident about your choice to wear or not wear the bucket hat, that's where you lost me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wise words.
Mm-hmm.
Skid looks concerned.
Now, I do want to leave the listeners with a little extra something. As you know, I'm currently running a 2-for-1 deal. Bring in two devices of yours that aren't working, and I'll make sure one of them does by the end of the week.
That's not a deal!
What are you talking about? It's a great deal.
They both weren't working before then, so one of them does now.
But usually you just bring one in, and they fix it, and they take it away. Now I have to bring two things in, and you get to pick which one you want to fix. Like,
which one?
I just want to say, specifically for Canon, that at some point Rat has had one broken item, and he broke a second one so that he could get the deal.
The deal.
It's back by popular demand. Thank you, Rathew, for the great reviews. And I'll just have to say, your reporting recently on these town hall events are excellent. Makes it, you know, all right to never attend one again, which is the goal.
And now for our listeners, let us know what is your opinion on the new tax increase that the deputy mayor has proposed.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that will affect businesses like your own?
You asked that to the audience.
No, I asked this to you.
Oh, I thought you said to our listeners.
Oh.
No, to the listeners of the radio.
I was saying to the last question for you to
got
answer.
It, got
for
it, got it, got it. Okay.
But I like the question asked to the listeners too.
Yep. Well, as you know, my platform is very simple. It always has been. I'm always transparent with you all because I like to be fair. I am anti all policies that the deputy mayor puts forth. So obviously my reaction is to be against the tax. Now,
all right. And I have to, of course, every time I have to ask, will you make history and announce your candidacy for deputy mayor here on this show?
I'll tell you what, if I ever do it, it will be here on this show. Today, the most important thing you should take away from all of this is the 2-for-1 deal.
All right.
No announcement to be made.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Gilda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. See you next week.
See you next week.
Oh, don't forget. I mean, you know, as the service that I'm providing here, you do owe me $50 for my column. I'm just staring him down, waiting.
Payment will be based on audience and input. You want a fry?
Yeah, I'll take a fry.
It is soaked in ketchup.
Yeah, that's how Gilda likes it too, though.
Percy, what have you been doing while this interview is going on?
I think with the town hall meeting concluded, Percy, it's a weight off his shoulders. You know, I think I really got to the folks. I think they're really going to like take this seriously this year. I think we're going to see some real improvements on Main Street. So, I have gone up to the sort of bar restaurant area, and I've ordered myself I'm cutting loose a little bit. I've ordered myself a wine spritzer, and I'm just sitting back and I'm relaxing and watching things unfold. Oh, and I'm still petting the mayor.
Oh,
yeah. The mayor is enjoying it immensely.
You know, it's a common misconception. We started as rivals, you know, when during the campaign, but we've actually become really close friends.
Aww. Become a really good team.
Are you telling this to him out loud?
No, I'm telling the listening audience. Yes, actually, you know what? Yes, I am.
Because I think Skid is actually like next to you as you're saying that and just kind of like chuckles into his pint.
Oh, howdy, neighbor from out of town.
How'd you know it was me?
It's bucket hat. It's the hat.
I just got an eye for these things, neighbor.
Oh, man, nothing gets past you, Percy. You're almost as sharp as old Duncan over there.
Well, I don't know about that, but I try.
So, out of curiosity, what do you really think our chances are for best small town of Washington are this year?
I think this could be our year, Skid. I think this could be it. You know, we second place 2 years in a row.
That's true. Well, you know, I heard you scrub some of those bad Yelp reviews that were popping up from last year. You know, some folks were saying that might have been the difference.
I couldn't possibly comment about that, but I do think we're seeing a real upswing in the perception of Splinters Washington.
If anyone can pull it off, it'd be you, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Skid. I appreciate you.
Yeah, he gives you a big clap on the back that almost certainly left some stain on it.
Oh, and it definitely like knocks the wine spritzer out of Percy's mouth. So he's just like sprays it out.
The wine spritzer.
And he kind of laughs and just and then he actually goes up to Gilda and leaves you alone with the mayor for now. And the mayor actually jumps down from your arms, I suppose, and starts just walking out of the building.
Oh, mayor, come back, mayor. Pss, 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 pss. Mayor,
sir.
Hey, mayor. Pss, pss. I follow the mayor.
Yeah, and the door is open. I think that it's probably summertime, so you know the door is propped open because this place definitely doesn't have air conditioning. And you walk outside of the fast lane and you see that. So the fast lane is on Main Street, Main Drag. You see that every single building on the Main Drag is covered in graffiti.
Cheese and crackers.
Is everywhere.
Golly, Miss Molly.
And as you're looking around, you see that the words, there's a lot of recurring words that are popping up on the buildings. Like phrases like no escape, no future, save the last dance for me, radio tower, Sunday at sunset, and we're in the cave in all caps.
Percy starts to hyperventilate a little bit and I think completely loses track of the mayor. That's totally out of mind right now. And just throws open the door to the fast lane and shouts at the top of his lungs, "We got vandals!"
If you liked what you heard, the best way to let us know is on Twitter at @TTRPGRoulette.
Or leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice.
If you do leave us a review, let us know so we can give you a shout out in a future episode.
You can also support us financially on Patreon at patreon.com/TTRPGRoulette.
There, you can get access to bonus content such as character creation episodes, blooper reels, an art gallery, and much more.
Our music was created by Neil Martin, who you can find on Twitter at @BardicMartin.
Our logo was created by Lee, who you can find on Twitter at @TheLawOfNames or on his Masks AP, Otherwhere.
We want to give a very special shout out to our patrons, including Landon Cornell, MC of Shadows of St. Fleur, Reed, Dusty, Silva, Vanessa Haas, Zeke, Gnome, and Daniel.
Hello everyone and welcome to Monster Hour, an actual play podcast about going to school, arguing with your parents, and ruining your favorite outfit while hunting horrible monsters. Narrative driven and crisply edited with painfully relatable characters. Monster Hour follows unlikely heroes JR.
Super suspicious. That's sort of my deal.
Constance.
I may be a bit of a know-it-all, but I might actually know it all.
And Alvin.
I'm monstrous.
As they unravel the sinister mysteries of a strange Colorado town. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, Buffy, or the Adventure Zone Amnesty, you'll love Monster Hour. Tune in for new episodes every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.